Revival Movement Association, all right? Or better known maybe here in Northern Ireland as Every Home Crusade. Many people have heard of Every Home Crusade. All right, some of you have heard of Every Home Crusade. That's good. Well, Revival Movement Association, Every Home Crusade is the same organization. Revival Movement Association now is the name that we use internationally. Most people here at home know us as Every Home Crusade. Now, that means that some people at least have an idea what we're talking about tonight. First of all, let me say, Every Home Crusade, first of all, it's a literature ministry. We have a big factory up just outside Kinallan, Drumara direction. All right, so we have a factory there. And there we have a whole lot of printing equipment. And there we print gospel literature and we send it all around the world. Now, I'm going to take you into the factory, let you see a little bit of what goes on in that factory, and then we'll go overseas and visit some of the countries. First of all, we've got this particular machine here, all right? This is a printing press, all right? Now, these two guys operate the machine, Simon and then Junior, and these are rolls of paper that have all been printed, all right? Now, on a roll of paper there, those are gospel tracts, all right, on the roll of paper. Now, I want you to try and get an idea as to the speed this paper travels through the machine. Every one of those rolls to start with will weigh over half a ton in weight, all right? Another way of looking at it is every one of those reels, if you just rolled it, started off and rolled it down the road, it will take about 8 miles, all right? So you can trundle along there for about 8 miles, all right? Now, I want you to try and imagine how fast this goes through the machine. It starts away at the far end, the white roll of paper, and comes right through to this end here. Now, it runs at a speed of 200 meters of paper in 1 minute, all right? Another way of thinking of that is 3.5 meters of paper goes through the machine every second. All right? So that is fast. And it is so fast that if you actually look at it when it's printing, all you can see is a blur of color. You cannot actually see what's printing at all. So you have no idea if it's good or bad or whatever. But as it's traveling, it takes a little photograph here of every page. And then it is shown up on one of these screens here and magnified. And the guy that's operating the machine can see whether it's good or bad. And of course can stop if it's bad, and it can even make adjustments while it's running. So this is a very important machine as far as we are concerned. Now, last year in the factory, we used a total of 1,371 tons of paper. So that is a lot of paper, and it probably boggles your imagination, and it boggles mine, and I see it, just how much paper that actually is. That produced something like 75 million pieces of gospel literature. That is anything from a gospel tract through to a gospel of John through to a set of children's Bible lessons. So we're talking very wide here, but it just gives you a little bit of an idea. 75 million items. The machine here in the background is another printing press. Instead of using rolls of paper, instead this machine takes sheets of paper. And so we can have big sheets of paper, smaller sheets, thicker sheets, thin sheets. So it gives a lot more flexibility, this particular machine. This is another printing press. It prints nearly all the insides of a lot of the booklets, so especially Gospels of John. 8.2 million Gospels of John were printed last year in a whole range of different languages. This machine, slightly different in that, again, it takes a roll of paper, but it can actually print two rolls of paper at exactly the same time. And that can travel right through the machine all at the same time. So that's what this is involved in. Now, once the paper is printed, then it has to be made into booklets. And we have two of these machines, what we call Müller saddle stitchers. This puts the paper on, the printed pages on at this end. They drop onto this conveyor belt. They come up, the cover is dropped on here. It comes up into the corner, four staples are put in, comes right round here, is all trimmed, all the edges are trimmed, and you have your finished Gospels coming out here. An average day will be about 60,000 Gospels of John coming off this machine. So one guy is at one end putting the pages on, the other guy is at the other end boxing all the Gospels or booklets as they come off this machine. So it's just a very constant job, and we have two of these machines running. All right, so it gives you a little idea. Now, this machine here is a folding machine. This takes those rolls of tracks that we've seen earlier on. On one of those big rolls of tracks, you can have nearly 200,000 tracks on one of those big rolls. And this machine actually starts, unwinds the roll, comes down in here, cuts into little pages, comes right on down, right round, folds them, and the tracks are coming out in nice, neat little bundles, and you can have nearly 100,000 tracks an hour coming off this machine. So, gives you an idea. Again, very, very fast. We have another four different folding machines. These are for folding big sheets, sometimes into booklets, sometimes to be made into a book, all sorts of things. This is our store. These, as you can see, the guys are actually standing on rolls of paper. These are the rolls of paper that are going to be printed. But we are using 5 tons of paper every working day. So that's 5 tons of paper into the print room every day and 5 tons of finished material coming out. So there's just this constant cycle of paper coming, going all the time. And then in the shelves here, you have the finished literature all ready for shipping and for sending out. Now, let me just give you an idea. There's just constantly movement of stuff going out. This week, we actually shipped a container. One container of literature went to Uganda, East Africa. Another container went to Nigeria. And then on Thursday there, we sent 5 pallets went to Belgium. 4 pallets went to the country of Cameroon. 1 to Guyana. I'm trying to think where the other ones went. There was 2 to Sierra Leone. And there was somewhere else. Zimbabwe got 3, and Zambia got 3 as well. So that is what went out this past week. So you can begin to see just a constant turnover. And this is the way it'll go out. Sometimes into a 20-foot container. So when I talked about a container there, you will have seen containers floating around the roads here. We take a 20-foot container and we can put about 18 tons of literature into a 20-foot container and ship it off. All right. Sometimes it also goes just as pallets if there isn't enough to fill a full container. And that's why I was talking about pallets. At the moment, we're printing literature in about 95 different languages. All right. So that gives you an overall feel for what we're doing. Now, I want to take you, as I said, to a couple of countries. The first country is the Philippines. David there was talking about the Philippines, and you're collecting Bibles for the Philippines, and I know Gareth McDowell. The Philippines. Now, believe it or not, I went for a long weekend to the Philippines. Now, that sounds a bit crazy, and it was a bit crazy, because I left home on a Saturday morning. I arrived on Sunday evening in the Philippines. I spent Monday and Tuesday, and I left again on Tuesday night, and I was back home on Wednesday. All right. So this was a very quick turnaround as far as the Philippines was concerned. I had some very important meetings to meet certain people. And I also had time then to see a little bit of the work that's going on in the Philippines. And that's what I'm going to really share with you. So we're talking Manila, huge big city. In many ways, all these big skyscrapers and so on. But millions of people living in this city. This guy here, Pastor Joel, is the leader of Child Evangelism Fellowship the Philippines and does a tremendous work. These ladies are in charge of literature, and these boxes in the background are all boxes of literature that we have sent to CEF in the Philippines to help them in their work. And these are Gospels of John that we have supplied them with. So that's them in their store. That was Monday morning. I went out. I arrived Sunday night. Monday morning, they picked me up about 6 o'clock in the morning, and we headed out into the countryside, out of the city, and to visit some schools. They do evangelism in the schools. Now, it's very organized. They have a team of young people that go into the schools. They have permission from the government to go into the schools. and they're allowed 15 minutes with every class, all right? So when we arrived, it was just a matter of speaking to the headmaster. They already had the, you know, sort of like, we're coming on such and such a day, and then we just literally arrived, and as soon as they spoke to the headmaster, the whole team split. Sometimes I, here at home, we're inclined to have a team to go and teach maybe a class or a children's meeting or whatever. But it wasn't a case of, it was a case of one person for every class. So one person began to teach the class, a Bible lesson, very short, straightforward Bible lesson. There's Pastor Joel there using the wordless book. One of the things I want you to really grasp as well was the attention that the young people were giving. They really gave good attention as the Bible lesson was taught. At the end, then, some of the young people were given Gospels of John. It depended on their age group, and they worked out the different ages and so on. So these ones, they got Gospels of John. Then the younger children, they were given a copy of the booklet Meet the King, again in the Tagalog language. So I'm not really expecting anybody to read it, but you can see it there. So the younger children got to meet the king. We visited every classroom in that school, and it was a case to just jump into the minibus, and off we went again, and came to the next school. The next school was a high school, so the pupils were a bit older. What they actually told us in this particular school, they were short of teachers. So there was very big classes. In one class, we counted 79 young people. So you imagine what that is like. 79 young people in the one class. And again, you can see there was good attention given. Very well behaved. Really interested and so on. So we found that very interesting indeed. Again, they got their Gospels of John. And some of the older ones, they even got New Testaments that somebody had donated to CEF. So it's really encouraging. Then at the end, they were prayed with. Every class was prayed with before they left. So it was just very interesting just to see. Now that team are working all the time. They work full time. Sometimes that team will go off in their minibus and they'll be away from the office, from their headquarters, for upwards on a month. And what they do is they contact local churches, and as they travel, and they will literally sleep in the church overnight, cook their food, buy some food, cook it, and move on the next day into the schools, and keep moving to a different area. So this is that team involved in school ministry there in the Philippines. So they have a tremendous amount of work going on at this particular time, right across the country of the Philippines. They have literally thousands of good news clubs and teachers involved in evangelism and teaching the boys and girls. Pastor Joel actually told me, he says, children's work is one of the most important works as far as church planting is concerned. Because, he said, you can move in. It is a Roman Catholic country. So there would be a certain amount of suspicion if you were trying to set up a church. But he says, what happens is you can go into a community and you can offer to teach the children. And people are quite happy at that. So the children's meeting is formed. And then the parents, they start to come as well. And they will sit at the back and they will listen. And then many of the parents maybe will say, well, I was very interested in what you were teaching the children tonight and what you were saying about the Bible. Whereabouts do you find that verse and whereabouts do you find that in the Bible? And then they can share this with the parents. And before very long, they will see parents coming and trusting the Lord to be their Savior. And as the parents trust the Lord, then they can start a little church right out of the children's meeting. And they see this very, very important means and way of church planting. To give you an idea, at this moment in time in the Philippines, it is estimated there are about 58,000 evangelical churches. But they are hoping, and through evangelism, to get that figure up to 120,000 by the year 2020. So they have a lot of work to do, but that is the aim of the evangelical churches in the Philippines at this present time. Now, that was the morning. That was that day. Then the next day, I was with the Philippine Bible Society, who linked up with a man called Bishop Tika. This is Bishop Tika here beside me. A bishop is not the same as we think of a bishop, all right? A bishop out there just basically means the leader of the church. That is all it means. It is not as we think of bishop as in the Anglican sense and so on. But it just means that he's the leader of the church. And he had gathered pastors together. We had some Bibles and we had Gospels of John to distribute to these pastors. I spoke first, then they prayed for me. I told them about the work of Revival Movement Association, the literature ministry. And then we literally had the boxes of Bibles and the boxes of Gospels. And we started in, and each pastor was able to get so many Bibles and so many Gospels for their work. There was about 30 pastors there. It was sort of funny because it was like a case that we had to make up the boxes literally as the pastors were coming forward and being called out. It was all very highly organized, as in every name was written down, who was coming in what order and so on. And then we make up the box and the pastor would come up, and then it was a case I had to present the box and pictures had to be taken. So I have pictures of about every pastor and about five or six pictures of every pastor, because that was just the way it worked. But those men were really, really excited just to get a box of Gospels of John and some Bibles for their churches. Some of those men had traveled up to 5 hours just to be there and just to get that box of literature. I got a group photo at the end, so you can sort of actually see the excitement on their faces there just to get a supply of literature. They were more than happy, so they took that off. In the afternoon then, we had lunch with Bishop Tika, but then in the afternoon they took me to a prison. This was a prison that was built for about 100 men, but whenever we got in and so on, we were told there was about 600 men packed into a prison for 100. Now, it was all a bit of a job trying to get into the prison, and we wanted to take some photographs because I wanted to be able to show you the photographs, visitors are not allowed to take photos, and there was a whole palaver with the officials. This was the main man here, and we had to negotiate with him, and this was a lady prison officer and so on. And eventually, it was agreed that she would had her phone, and she would take the pictures, and then after we had the visit, then she would give us copies of all the pictures. So that was how it actually worked, except in the end, it was one of the pastors actually took her phone and took the photographs. So this was us. First of all, we had the Gospels with some of the local pastors. These are some of the local pastors, and we presented the Gospels. Then we went into actually where the prison was. Now, there was this corridor, and in this corridor, there was literally like 3 rooms on each side of the corridor and these metal railings. Now, you can just about see in here the yellow shirts, and all the prisoners had yellow shirts on. We were not allowed to photograph the prisoners themselves directly, but I have never, ever seen so many people packed into to a cell. It was just incredible. When you looked through the bars, it was just like looking at a complete mass of people. Where on earth they all, never mind stand, but where they would lie down. I was told afterwards they probably lie down in rotation. In other words, when it's your time to turn to sleep, there's a bit of the room for sleeping, and you'll lie down and sleep, and then when it's when you've had an opportunity to sleep for a few hours, then you get up, and then somebody else lies down, and that's the way they actually rotate the actual sleeping area. So not everybody even has their own bed, it's just a case to rotate. So dreadful. At the same time, so being the visitor, I had to present to every cell, but they're Gospels, and then the funny thing is they have these guys who are prisoners on the outside, and they're called the runners. and they have to get everything for the prisoners inside. In some ways, I would have reckoned that the runner probably was the best job because he wasn't stuck in the actual cell. So I had to present to every runner their Gospels of John for their particular cell. Then as well, there was visitors, and the visitors were all allowed in that corridor to visit their member of their family. So we don't have like what we have here at home where the prisoner comes out and you have a nice table and you sit and talk and so on. It wasn't like that. The family literally had to come and literally talk through the bars to their family member. And if they wanted to bring food, they were allowed to bring food to feed their family member. And that was all done through the bars. So pretty rough, to say the least. After we gave the prisoners the Gospels of John, then we were allowed to give the family members Gospels of John as well. And I think my lasting impression of being in that prison was very simple. I just remember as we were coming out through the gate and literally looking down, and at my feet was a guy just sitting with a Gospel of John, sitting intently reading it. He didn't even notice that we were passing him by and leaving. But he was just sitting there reading the Gospel of John. Those pastors were going back in there. That was like an introduction for them into that particular prison. And once they were coming back the next Saturday, and they were going to start a weekly Bible study in the prison. So that was interesting within itself. Now, I want to take you to Nigeria. I was out in Nigeria in December. This was a big conference that I went to. First of all, I want you to think of Nigeria in West Africa, a country with about 200 million people. Very hard for us to grasp, 200 million people living in one country. You know, whenever I'm out there, sometimes they will say to me, you know, how big is your country? You know? Anybody tell us the population of Northern Ireland? I think you're a bit on the high side. I think it's about 1.7 million is Northern Ireland's population. All right? And I will tell them that, and they just simply laugh at me. You know? I say, what? But our city has 10 million people. You know? So that's the way they think out in Nigeria. But this conference that I went to, this is a picture of the conference area. Now, I was out there last May also, and that's when I took this picture, because I could never have taken this whenever I was there this past in December. What I want you to try and understand is that down in there, there is a conference going on with over 1,000 people. All right? So if you can try and grasp that as the size of the area for this conference that I went to in December. The conference is operated by this man here called Billy Akane. He's a big conference speaker, very, very well known in Nigeria in Christian circles. He feels his role is to encourage and help pastors and Christian workers and so on. And he holds conferences, sometimes for youth, sometimes for men, women, all sorts of different conferences through the year. This is his team that is surrounding him, helping, assisting, and looking after things for him. But this is the conference that I went to in December, all right? It was estimated around 40,000 pastors and church workers were at that conference. And they were there for 4 days. Now, what I want you to try and grasp is that, they were there for 4 days. And that meant they had to be fed. That meant they had to have somewhere to sleep, and so on. So that as well was all provided. What amazed me afterwards, and it didn't occur to me to afterwards, that money was never mentioned. There was no charge for these people that came. There was nothing like that whatsoever. There was no money. There was no collections. There was nothing. It was done as a gift for the people. And people, I presume, support Billy Akane. These are the meetings, but you can just have a wee idea, just the lovely, soft, nice seats that they're sitting on. All right? Now, take a good look. You maybe think, oh, I'm sitting on a hard bench tonight. Well, that's luxury. Now, let me tell you, the last day, all right, the last day of these meetings, all right, and you can get, you begin to appreciate your seat, all right. The last day, the meeting started, this was Saturday, it started at 7 o'clock in the morning, all right. started at 7 in the morning and ran through to 1:30 in the afternoon. And there was no breaks, there was no coffee, there was no tea, there was no breaks at all. The meeting just went on and on and on from 7 o'clock in the morning to 1:30 in the afternoon. All right? Now, it wasn't all solid preaching. It was times of praise, times of prayer, times of reports. And at 1 o'clock, half 1, they stopped. And that was time for lunch. They stopped for 2 hours. All right? And at 3:30 again, they were starting. And when I mean 3:30, it wasn't 3:40. It was 3:30. They started exactly on time. All right? And the meeting started again at 3:30 and ran through to 7 o'clock at night. And if you think that was it finished, sorry, it stopped for another 2 hours at 7 o'clock at night, started again at 9 o'clock at night, and ran through to after 1 in the morning. All right? And that is your seat. All right? So you begin to appreciate you're not too badly done by. All right? But that just gives you a little bit of an idea. People there were there. They had traveled from all over the country of Nigeria. Many of them had traveled for hours on end to be at that conference for those 4 days and really just to be there to study the Word of God, to join together and worship and so on. And when you get 40,000 people all singing at the top of their voices, now I know, maybe I don't know if anybody goes to football matches or not, but I would say probably it maybe has something similar effect. But you have those people really, really singing from the very tops of their voices. One of the interesting things about Nigerians singing, there's nobody here from Nigeria, I don't think, but I find this really quite funny. But you don't need to be a good singer, all right, to sing, or even to lead the singing, you know. You get a microphone and you start singing, all right? And it doesn't matter if you're out of tune or you make your own tune or anything else, but you just sing, all right? So you can imagine what that's like. You know, I've never heard so many good hymns being murdered. You know, it was quite funny in some ways. But you couldn't hardly sing. You know, I knew the hymns, but I couldn't hardly sing them because the tunes were way off because the guy that was leading. And no matter how many times they seemed to be organized, whoever was playing the music, the group that was playing the music, never, ever, ever seemed to be ready whenever the guy that was leading it. So he just went off on his tune, and then the music started a minute or so later. But that was the way. But it was absolutely fantastic to be there, to experience it, and so on. I was there, of course, because of the literature, and we're developing a relationship with these people because they have worked right across the country. Saturday afternoon, they actually asked me to speak a little bit about Ministry of Revival Movement Association and as well to push our literature and so on. My only problem was that we had hardly any literature there. But what I was amazed about was many of the people came to me after the meeting was over. And a lot of them very serious and really knew what they were talking about. There was one lady, she came to me. Now, we print the book by Bishop J.C. Ryle, Expository Thoughts on Matthew. This lady came to me. She says, I know you print Matthew, she says, but what about Expository Thoughts on Mark, Luke, and John? When are you going to print those? So she knew what she was talking about. I don't know if anybody has heard of Madame Guyon here. She was one of the Puritan people way back many years ago. And there's a book about her life. And one guy came to me and says, I'm looking at that book on Madame Guyon. Can you get me that? And other guys came to me and I'd spoken about, as I say, the factory and so on. Two guys actually wanted to come and work for me. That was their offer. And many, many others came, we want tracts, we want booklets, we want for evangelism, and so on. So that was really interesting. One of the things about the whole site that I should actually tell you about, I mean, you imagine 40,000 people finish a meeting and all start walking, all right? And everything's bone dry. There's no rain at this time of year in Nigeria in that area. Everything's bone dry, and you're just clouds and clouds and clouds of dust, all right? And even whenever that meeting finished and all those people surrounded me, and you know what it's like when there's a whole crowd right around you, they were all tramping dust, you know. I ended up nearly choking I couldn't hardly get breath. Eventually I had to almost try and break out of the crowd just to try to get breath And whenever I came home, my wife looked at my clothes and she reckons they were so full of dust and she can't even get the dust out of the clothes. So it gives you a wee bit of an idea. But they also have a bookshop. This is quite a large bookshop. They are very, very particular as to what they sell in their bookshop and the literature that they distribute. But these people are there to buy, all right? We have a number of books. This guy, Philemon here, all right, he works with Acts Bookshop in Nigeria. He was sort of looking after me, drove me around. But these are some of our books that we have printed. There's Paul by F.B. Meyer, Expository Thoughts on Matthew, Wonders Love by D.L. Moody, Methods of Christian Work by R.A. Torrey, Wedding the Balances, D.L. Moody, and that's just some of the titles that we have available, but only in small quantities so far. We need to step this up. Now, in the bookshop, when people wanted to buy, all right, this here is the line, one of the lines, all right? For a checkout to pay. Alright, now this is one of the lines. This line extends right up here. It comes right round the corner. And then, if you imagine from that back wall, and then it comes right in here and zigzags two or three times. There's a total of 16 checkouts working. Alright? The guy that was with me, he had a queue for half an hour just to get a purchase made. Alright? Simply because so many people are buying. I came back, that was the first day. The second day I came back, and you can see that people are buying. Look, there's a lady there, all right? The bundle of books that she is actually wanting to buy. There was other people the next day, they actually were carrying boxes of stuff that they were wanting to buy. But I came back another day, and when I arrived in that area, I seen this line of people. I should have taken a photo of it, but I didn't. There was this big, long line stretching, it sort of wound all over the whole field near the bookshop. And then I suddenly realized this is the line, this is the queue to get into the bookshop, which meant that the bookshop was already full, and as people were served and left, then they let more people in. All right? And I remember actually saying to the guy in charge of the bookshop, I says, I have never, ever seen people queuing to get into a bookshop, Christian bookshop. And I've never seen people queuing to pay inside a Christian bookshop. And this man said to me, it's very simple, he said, our people are hungry for the Word of God. Our people are hungry for the Word of God. And that just summed the whole thing up. That's why those people were there. They were there to hear. They were there to meet God. They were there to learn about God. And you know, we here, we are so privileged. These people, so many of them, are next door to nothing. Next door to nothing as far as material goods are concerned. But they do have a hunger for the Word of God. And tonight I'm just going to leave you with one very simple challenge. Are you hungry for God? Do you want to really get to know God? Do you want to get to know God in your life? Do you want to hear God speak to you? Do you want to read His Word and expect to hear Him speak to you? It is so important, so vital today that we want to get to know God and that we do get to know God in a greater and a better way. Tonight I'm just going to simply ask you, pray for our work. Pray for the literature that we're printing. We're using 5 tons of paper every day and we're not meeting the requests that we have coming from around the world. We have far, far more requests. And I'm facing this day by day. People are having to say, no, I'm sorry, we can't help you. Sorry, you'll have to wait for so many months before we can send you literature. That is the case. That container that we shipped to Uganda this past week, some of that literature has been on order for over a year, simply because of the number of opportunities that we have. So many. So pray for us that we will be able to send out more literature and help many more of our Christian brothers and sisters with the good news of the gospel. There's some of our newsletters sitting down the back, so you feel free to help yourselves to those afterwards. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you.